I was going to preach on the course of this age earlier in the week, and the more I thought about it, that message would take about 45 minutes, and I knew that we didn't have that time tonight. So the Lord directed me to something else. Maybe you've seen this. Maybe this is going to be old to you, and maybe for some of you this will be very new. But I want to speak for a few moments on the three appearings of Christ. Three appearings as we have them in the Word of God. That Christ is making for the believer, has made or is going to make for the believer. And for that, I would like for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 9, and then I'm going to have you turn back to, I know what has to be a favorite passage of many of you, Leviticus chapter 16. Many of you probably have that memorized, at least I know Larry Heppes has been working on Leviticus now ever since I've known him. And so some of you, I'm sure, have that nailed down, but I want to go back there for just a few moments because there's some exciting truths that come out that I think are very relevant to the Lord's Supper. In Hebrews 9:23, therefore it was necessary for the copies of the things in heaven, in the heavens, to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. He's talking now about the Old Testament sacrifices, as he refers to them in verses 1 through 22 of chapter 9. And then in verse 24, for Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, as the Old Testament tabernacle was, but rather into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. In verse 25, nor was it that he should offer himself often as the high priest enters the holy place, year by year with blood, not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once, at the consummation of the ages, he has, and you'll note in your King James again, it's the word appear, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly wait for him. So in verse 26 we have the phrasing, he has appeared to put away sin, or has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And then in verse 24, he now appears in the presence of God for us. I'm changing the sequence here a little. But he now appears in the presence of God for us. And then in verse 28, at the end of this age, the Lord Jesus Christ himself shall reappear, his third appearance. He appeared once, he's now appearing in the presence of God for us, and he will appear again a second time to those who eagerly wait for him. Now, as you study Hebrews chapter 9, you must refer frequently to a passage in the Old Testament. I mentioned a moment ago, Leviticus chapter 16. And I want us to go back there for a few moments because most of us are not Jewish. I would take it tonight that you're not Jewish. Some of you are, so you're familiar with some of the traditions and the ritualism of the Old Testament holy days. But here in Leviticus 16, you ought to acquaint yourself with this passage because it is the greatest day among all the holy days. It's the biggest day of the year for Israel. We call it, or they call it, Yom Kippur. It's the Day of Atonement. In Leviticus chapter 16, we have this very special day, this whole chapter given concerning the purpose of this day and how each of these requirements that God set forth were to be very carefully heeded, and that the high priest who would enter into the very holy place only once a year, but he would do it twice on this day, on this special day, the Day of Atonement. He would enter in, and he had very elaborate and careful preparations that he had to make and that the people had to make as well for this very, very special day. And as we see the setting here in chapter 16, verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they had approached the presence of the Lord and died. Now, the record of that is back in chapter 10 when Nadab and Abihu offered strange sacrifices, or Abihu, if you want to call him that, offered strange sacrifices upon the altar, and consequently they were immediately taken. God immediately judged them because they did not follow these special requirements that God had given. And so now it's almost like they've sort of backed off, and the Lord is once more going to let these people see how utterly holy He is and how utterly sinful that man is. And so the Day of Atonement now is instituted in order for man to see how holy God is and how sinful we are and how in need we are of a sacrifice for sin. And so the Lord told Moses in verse 2, "Tell your brother Aaron that he shall not enter at any time into the holy place inside the veil." Now you remember there's three parts to the tabernacle. There was the big outer courtyard, and then there was the holy place, and then there was the Holy of Holies. And the priest could go into the holy place, but only the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies, which was the inner sanctuary. And he could only do that on this special day, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And in verse 2, he says, don't let him do it at any other time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. And Aaron shall enter the holy place with this, with a bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. So here we have in verses 1 through 6 the preparation that the priest must carry out in order to be sure that the sacrificing was done in a proper and a holy manner. Notice in verse 4 that he now must put on holy linen tunic. White linen undergarments shall be next to his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash, and attired with a linen turban. These are holy garments. Then he shall bathe his body in water and then put them on. Now, an interesting study for you sometime is to go back to Leviticus chapter 8 and find out how beautiful the garments were that the high priest wore. And then recognize that on the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur, the high priest would have to take off all of these beautiful garments that he'd put on. And for this one day, for these particular sacrifices, he would clothe himself in these beautiful, or I shouldn't say beautiful, but clean, white linen garments. Reminds me of the song, "Out of the Ivory Palaces." My Lord has garments so wondrous fair. You know the song, but he took all of these off and came out of the ivory palaces in order that he could make a proper sacrifice for our sin. And so here we have the preparation of the priest. Then in verse 5, he shall take from the congregation of the sons of Israel the male goats for a sin offering, the one ram for a burnt offering, and Aaron shall offer the bull for the sin offering, which is for himself, that he may make atonement for himself and for his household. Here in verse 6, we see the need, first of all, is for Aaron, the high priest, to make an atonement for his own sin. And the word atonement, the Hebrew word is kafar, which just simply means to cover over. Sin was never completely done away with. All they could do was cover over their sins on a regular basis, always awaiting the coming of the true sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, for sin. And so Aaron was to offer the bull for a sin offering first for himself. And so he went into the holy place and sprinkled the blood of this bull upon the mercy seat to atone for his own sins. And then he would, after he had atoned for his own sins, then he would come out and likewise make an atonement for the sins of the people. But first he had to take care of his own sins before he could take care of the sins of his people. And that's why in the book of Hebrews, the writer says in chapter 9 that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't need to make atonement for his own sins because he was without sin. And then on down to this passage, which we'll not take the time to go down through, in verses 7 through 19, we have the preparation of the place. All of the utensils and so forth, and the furniture of the tabernacle was to be prepared in a very special way for this offering. Again, just showing the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man. And then down in verse 15, he shall slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil. So notice in verse 6, the bull for the sin offering was for Aaron and his family. But then down in verse 15, the slaughter of the goat, the sin offering, is for the people. And then he's to bring its blood inside the veil, behind the holy place, or behind the holy place into the Holy of Holies, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, and in front of the mercy seat. And he shall make atonement for the holy place, because of the impurities of the sons of Israel, and because of their transgressions in regard, and then notice in verse 16, in regard to all their sins. You see, by the priest daily going in and offering sacrifices in the holy place, the sins that were obvious, they could be covered over. But then once a day on Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, all of the sins that were maybe secret sins, sins in the mind, sins in the attitudes, all of these sins that weren't atoned for during the course of the year now could be atoned for or covered on the Day of Atonement. And that's why it was a very special day and became a very special day in the traditions of Israel, because this was a day when they knew if the sin offerings were carried out in a proper manner, that they would be totally forgiven, that the slate was clean. And so they would anxiously await in the outer court the people as the high priest went in and made atonement for their sin. And there he would appear at the mercy seat in the very presence of God, there for the people. And then they would anxiously await for him to return again, to come out and to show that he wasn't struck dead, that he did it in a proper manner, and that their sins were totally covered. And likewise, in Hebrews 9, the writer of Hebrews says that we too know that we have a great high priest who has made atonement for our sins, has now entered into the holy place, heaven itself, where there he is appearing in the very presence of God for us. And then, of course, what joy will be ours when the Lord Jesus Christ returns from behind the veil and appears again for us. And that's the analogy here in Leviticus 16 that is behind the three appearings of Christ in Hebrews chapter 9. Notice in verse 20, when he finishes atoning for the holy place and the tent of the meeting and the altar, he shall offer the live goat. Then Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat as a means of identifying the sins of the people with the goat, and confess over it all the iniquities of the sons of Israel and all their transgressions in regard to all their sins. And he shall lay them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who stands in readiness. And the goat sent off into the wilderness shall bear on itself all their iniquities to a solitary place, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. And then there were those who were stationed all along to watch that goat as it went out of the city and out into the wilderness. And then word was quickly relayed back into the tabernacle that the goat has disappeared. And there would be a cry of joy that would ring throughout the congregation. And then Aaron, in verse 23, shall come into the tent of meeting and take off the linen garments. Isn't that exciting? He'll take them off, and he'll put on, which he put on when he went into the holy place. He shall leave them there. He shall again bathe his body with water in a holy place and put on his clothes, and come forth and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, and make atonement for himself and for the people. Then he shall offer up in smoke the fat of the sin offering on the altar, And the one who released the goat as the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his body with water. Then afterward he shall come into the camp. But notice, verse 27, the bull of the sin offering and the goat of the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be taken outside the camp, and they shall burn their hides, their flesh, and their refuse in the fire. And again, the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 13:11, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people, put forth his own blood and suffered without the gate, outside of the city of Jerusalem. Verse 28, then the one who burns them shall wash his clothes, bathe his body with water, then afterwards he shall come back into the camp. Well, now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 9 and wrap this up. And again, see the three appearings of Christ based on Leviticus 16. Christ came down, he exchanged his garments of glory and took upon himself human flesh as the priest would exchange his beautiful, flowing garments, colorful garments, for these simple, clean linen garments. Jesus likewise did in order that he might bear our sin and become our sacrifice. And after he'd made a sacrifice for our sin, he disappeared behind the curtains, the veil, into heaven itself, where now he is appearing in the very presence of God. And the writer of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, and again in chapter 10, verses 19 through 22, says, wherefore we have access through him into the very presence of God ourselves. And just like in Israel, there ought to be a cry, a shout of joy that our sin has been covered and that we now have access as God's children into the very presence of God. That the relationship is no more one based upon fear, but one based upon family. That we are now part of the family of God. So, in verse 26, he has appeared to put away sin. In verse 24, he now appears in the presence of God for us. And in verse 28, he will again appear a second time for salvation. Now, as we look at these, we also see the threefold offices of Christ. The first time he came as a prophet. Now he is doing the job of a priest, appearing in the presence of God behind the veil, heaven's veil for us. And one day he will then take up his office as King of kings and Lord of lords. And that will come at his third appearing, when he comes back for those who eagerly await for him. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you that as we study your word and we see how it so beautifully speaks of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary, and the full atonement that he would make for our sins. It wasn't the blood of bulls and of goats, or the sprinkling of the blood of the heifer upon the altar, but it was rather the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. His blood that made a complete, never again to be offered sacrifice for us. And we thank you that in him we have this security, this assurance that we stand as a forgiven people. And we rejoice in that standing that we have with you through him. And we remember by way of these elements and symbols tonight what a marvelous sacrifice he made for us. And like the people of Israel, our hearts just jump with joy and gratitude, knowing that all accounts are settled and that we have total access into your presence. Help us to learn more about what that means and the tremendous resources that are available to us because of this access that we have. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to ask Gordon to, I'm not sure Gordon and Tom, but as the elders come forward with the symbols here, to come back and maybe just lead us in a song and sort of continue in our spirit and attitude of worship here. And I would like to remind you that if you're here for the first time tonight, we encourage you to partake of the Lord's Supper with us. This is not closed.